Okay, everybody, welcome to our monthly sponsorship forum this October of 2018. I'm Suzanne, Cheryl is here, and Susan M. is also here. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things
I cannot change.
Courage to change things I can.
And the wisdom
to know the difference.
I will not mine be done.
Amen.
Everybody, please star 6 to mute. This is being recorded. And so if anybody would like to ask a question or share, if you don't feel comfortable leaving your name, just say you're a compulsive eater. Okay, a couple of guidelines. We have a couple of topics. Any sponsor may share on that topic for 3 minutes. Susan's going to be our timer, so please be mindful of that. Anyone may ask a question. And please be quick and to the point. And anyone may respond. If they are a sponsor, we may respond as well. Let's try to stay on the topic. If we stray too much, I will lovingly get us back on topic if it's needed. And as I said, Susan is our timekeeper. And I also like to remind everybody, next Sunday is our intergroup meeting. And last month, I put out the challenge, bring your sponsee to the intergroup meeting. We are lacking intergroup reps and serve as one of the tools. So I invite everybody to bring their sponsee to the intergroup meeting. Okay, let's see. Susan, what is our first topic? Because I know I'm going to mess it up.
We actually talked about posing questions. What do you do when you know your sponsee isn't working the tools? Does that sound familiar, Suzanne?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. What do we do when the sponsee is not working the program and they maybe are using it as a diet club or they're just not working and they're just venting? So, Cheryl, would you like to get us started off on that topic? What do you do when?
Thank you. This is a powerful topic. And even after all these years in program, I don't really have the answer. I try my best to stay compassionate, but when I have someone that's slipping and not working the program, and that's the key, not working the program for months and months, it's like, how much more can I tell them how great this program is? I mean, I'll always say, I do this, the program has done this for me, I've seen promises, and I've seen miracles happen, but if it's not being processed by the other person, if they don't really get it, I keep wondering, how long should I do this? And, you know, I've never let anybody go. I've never told somebody it's not working for us, because I feel that they will find out. But I have had a problem once. I had to ask someone to change because it was affecting my serenity, my recovery, and I made sure to get it someone before I let her go. So this is the key. I need to be there for a sponsor. I want to. I get to be a sponsor. I love being sponsor, and I love helping other people, and I love when their eyes are open up, when they get it, when they understand that this is not just a food plan, not a diet at all, and they start working the tools seriously. But I also have to remember that if it starts affecting my recovery, it starts affecting my serenity to the point where I dread picking up that phone, I've got to be very careful. I have to be very careful because I cannot afford to have resentments, always led to food. So I've got to take care of myself. This program is a selfish program in a way, where I need to take care of myself first. Like we say on the airplane, you got to put your oxygen mask on first, and then you can help others. So, having said that, what do I say, what do I do when a sponsor doesn't want to make the outreach call, a sponsor doesn't do enough writing, or she's not into program. It's just something where I feel that they call for a couple minutes, give me their food, answer the question real quickly, go on to the next thing in their life. And for me, who's so involved in program, I need it as part of my life. I need to get on those phone bridge meetings. I learn from everyone. And it's ingrained in me, so it's hard for me to understand that But I do understand. People have things going on in their lives. They have reasons, not excuses, they're reasons. I believe them. I know that's true because that's how I dealt with program when I first came in. But I so much want that program for them. I want them to succeed. And I heard from a couple sponsors in my time in program that I cannot work your program. I cannot work the program, my sponsor's program. All I can do is work my own. I'm there to offer the service that I can. I'm there to guide them by telling them how it works for me. I'm not there to advise, and I'm not there as a therapist, that's for sure. Nor do I want to be. So the best that I can do is hang in there, be compassionate, try my best, and sometimes they do get it, and sometimes they don't, and they leave. That I used to think it was my fault. It was 1 week, it was a 2 weeks time that I lost 3 sponsees in that 2 weeks, and I was desperately upset with myself, and I kept telling my sponsor, it's my fault, what did I do wrong? She said, no, they just weren't ready. Go on, sponsor other people. And so I know that it's not for everyone. It's for those that want to work it. I thought it was just for those that want it, but it's those that want to work it. So I suggest that for myself, I just need to continue going on. If that doesn't work out, get another sponsor, and just keep going. And then there are so many sponsors I have that are here in program and abstinent for years and years. So it works. It works if I work it properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, would you like to share?
Sure. Hi, Susan, compulsive eater. So we did some talking before this meeting to come to this topic. And, you know, some of the things that came up from our experience sponsoring is what do you do when a sponsee isn't doing all the tools or doing them completely and with integrity? What if they aren't going to the meeting from the start to the end? What if they're not adhering to the structure of the program and if they think they want the easier, softer way? And then the question was, how do you help a sponsee to stay for the miracles and the promises? So that's sort of the frame that we're working from at this forum right now. And, you know, my answer is to talk about my experience, to ask my sponsee what his or her experience, actually I only sponsor women, so her experience might be that, you know, comes up either completely separate from what I might share or what I've shared helps her to see patterns for herself. As we continue to notice patterns and in a loving, gentle way, offer some patterns I see in ways that my sponsee is not working the program as it is written and as I work it. And my hope is that my sponsees will work a program similar to mine. And at some point, I'll just say, you know, I'm not sure that you're ready to be doing this program as it is written. What do you think about that? And I may go on to say, you know, this program takes a big commitment, and you know, nobody can make another person adhere to that commitment, adhere to a recovery program. It has to come from within. It has to be, I believe, someone who has lost all hope and recognizes that they are a compulsive eater, their life is unmanageable, and they can't do anything different themselves. Move on to steps 2 and 3 of, you know, finding that a higher power, even if it's just the 12-step recovery program of CHOW, to believe in and then turn their will in their life, and it's by degrees often, but turn their will in their life over to the care of their higher power. And I will talk about, you know, it's a moment at a time. You know, I take my will back all the time, but then I recommit when I recognize I've fallen off the beam. So it's one of loving compassion, of recognition of each of us is on his or her own journey. And as a sponsor, all I can do is offer my experience, strength, and hope, offer a guiding hand, a daily accountability and check-in, and hope that I can work with somebody who is ready to work for their recovery. Yeah, that's the last piece, is that this is a program of action, that no matter how much I want it, I have to act on that wanting for the recovery to happen. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. And I'm Suzanne, compulsive eater, and oh boy, there's a lot here about this topic. So the sponsorship and to set the tone, you know, we all are the same. We all are compulsive eaters. We have some differences. And so each person may come, and I'm talking about the person that might be struggling in an area or maybe in all areas. So we're all a little different. So depending upon the person, we focus on something different. We all focus, well, I focus with all my sponsees on their abstinence. But, you know, I remind my sponsees, the abstinence part is the first tool. It is a tool. And I think a lot of times we come to program and, oh, I want to lose weight, and that's it. But I think for most of us who are here, we are at that critical level that the concept talks about. Most of us have tried other things, and we know we're at critical level. And maybe I don't admit it, or I didn't admit it fully at the time, or 100%, but I knew. And I've spoken to people from experience who had struggled for years and have maybe years of long-term abstinence now, and what they said worked for them is, no matter what, keep coming to the meetings. And that's what I tell my sponsees, at least come to the meetings, and when you're ready, at some point, when you're ready, you'll get it. So I encourage them to just to come to meetings and listen, at the very least. But if they want to work the program, you know, I also say, I don't ask you to do anything that I'm not doing. This is what I'm doing. And I do remind them, if we just do the abstinence part and the sponsorship call, then we are basically treating it as a diet club. And maybe some of us came in with that mentality. Whatever we got here, it doesn't really matter as long as we got here, right? That's what I've been told. So, you know, maybe with someone, maybe they aren't quote-unquote perfect with the outreach calls, but they do, for the most part, their calls. But maybe the writing is the real issue. Then I try to focus on that. You know, the writing is what's really going to help you. I think it's going to help everybody, the deep writing. And I also say, I can't do this program for you. I remember telling my mother that, the same thing. You know, she basically wanted me to work a program for her, and I'm like, no, I can't do that. I have to work my own program, and I knew that my mother knew better. So I can't work my sponsee's program. I can be there for them, and sometimes I'll say it's one meal at a time. And I remind them that those feelings are not going to kill us. We think we're going to die, but in reality, they're not going to kill us. But the food at some point will. And sometimes I'll say, you know, the food is the weapon, but someone else is pulling the trigger, you. And I think that is so important. Our drug of choice is the food, but that's just masking the real issue. Whether we feel empty inside or we feel abused, whatever it is, we really have to dig deep. But if we're eating, we can't dig at all. And it's just a numbing effect. So we have to kind of work on that and the writing. And the service. I've had sponsees that don't want to sponsor, and I understand, you know. People call, then they yell at you sometimes, hopefully not, or they just go away. They never call and say, gee, I'm moving on, or I'm leaving, or whatever. And But I also have to know that I can't have expectations of any sponsee because I know what expectations are, seeds of resentment. So I'm just here sharing what works for me and what I know. And that's all I can do. I'm not going to expect anything. I will expect a phone call, that I will. I do expect that they call me. But I don't expect anything else. All I would like is a commitment. I know that for me, and this is a program of structure and discipline, I need that structure. You know, my sponsor has told me, if you are binging, which I have not in my years here, but she said, if you ever binge, she says, I'm expecting that phone call no matter what. And so I tell my sponsees, call me. I know that, I remember my 5 years in between programs, and I do not want to forget those 5 years I had on my own. All the things that I experienced alone, I do not want to forget that. So, and I've had sponsees tell me, well, you've been absent a long time. You can't possibly know how I feel. Well, yeah, it didn't happen yesterday, but if I close my eyes, I can feel and I remember the pain, the loneliness, the isolation. I remember all that, and I do not want to forget, so that I can extend the love, the kindness, the tolerance, and the patience that was extended to me when I came into this program. And, you know, and to be that loving person, and to whomever it is, someone who's, you know, returning for the 100th time or someone who's brand new, it doesn't matter. I want to be that example of patience and tolerance and love and acceptance. So, but I, like I said, I do tell them, you know, it is seven tools. We do work them, and we don't pick and choose which tools we're going to work and which ones we don't, because in this program we do accept them as requirements. That's why we're one of the reasons why we are different than other programs. These are requirements. And with that, I pass. Now we'll open it up. Are there any other sponsors who'd like to share on this topic or anyone who'd like to ask a question?
I do. Yeah. I have a question.
Yes?
Yeah, my name is Michelle, and I'm a recovering food addict. And one of my sponsees does not have a lot of weight to lose. And she, as she tells me, you know, she's going through transition, and we're supposed to have a 1:45 call in the afternoon, and that's fine. And then I don't see her. She doesn't call. I got to the point where I don't wait for her anymore. I just go about my business, and if she calls, great. She doesn't. And then she doesn't call. So I guess my question is, there is a point where you are compassionate, and then there's a point where I hate to say, you know, I don't think it's working out for us. I think you'll need to get another sponsor. That is the last thing I really want to do, because, I mean, I hear from her sporadically, but I don't hear from her consistently. So where does the compassion and the, hey, this is CEA Hal, this, you need to do this. So that's my question. Where have you drawn the line in the past?
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Susan, would you like to answer that first?
Yeah, hi. I have an expectation that it's a daily phone call, and that's one of the, I set that time aside for my sponsee and to talk to her, and if she doesn't call, you know, and there's a reason for it, and it's not a regular reason, then fine, and, you know, we'll get on back on the next day. But it's not an option to call me or not. And if that time doesn't work, you know, can we find another time, or do I not have the time available that is right for her? The sporadic phone call is just not something that I will go along with in a sponsoring relationship. And, you know, and if it comes to to, you know, be clear that this is not going to work, I say, okay, you know, we'll just move from a sponsoring relationship to a fellow relationship and do outreach calls. And, you know, I can help her help herself find a sponsor that is going to work for her. That's my response to this question. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to respond?
Yes, Cheryl, compulsive eater. I don't know how to say this, but I'm thinking compassion for a sponsee. How about compassion for myself? When I set that time up and I have a few sponsees, I do expect the call to come through at that time. And the reason for that is that if they call 10 minutes later, I'm almost into my next sponsee. But just to make a point, if I have a sponsee supposed to call at 9 o'clock and they don't, I'm sitting there. I'm not having my coffee or anything. I'm waiting for that phone call. So for the next 50 minutes, I'm just going to hang around the phone. I want to be present, and I want to give that sponsee all my attention, and so I do that. Now, if this happens one day, I'll tell them. If something comes up that's really important, text me. Text me your food, and we'll talk tomorrow. So they know to do that. They really text me the food. It's fine. I do not answer texts. I just take the food, see it, and we go on, and we do the question the next day. But I need to get that respect. I respect my sponsor desperately. When I need to call her at 10:15 and it's 10:16, I panic. I need to be there when my sponsor expects my call. And this is going on for years. So I do expect people to call me, sponsors to call me on time. Of course, there's always something may come up and they can't, and they'll text me, and that's fine. Or they may call a couple minutes late because something happened. But generally, I don't want to have these resentments when I'm sitting there waiting for 15 minutes and nobody calls. So I make it a very important part. I have this little sponsorship guidelines page that was put together by someone, and it covers everything. It covers the relationship between sponsor and sponsee right up front, covering everything, all the tools, the time, the calls. And so I go through that really seriously at the beginning, and I say, if you're willing to do this, if you're able to do this, hey, I'm willing to sponsor you. So to me, it's very important that people call on time.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, this is Suzanne. Yeah, if I'd have a conversation with the person, this time does not seem to be working for you. Is there another time that you have? And if you as a sponsor don't have another time, then, yeah, the loving suggestion is then we need to get you another sponsor where you can call every day. When I first came to the program, my sponsor took maybe an hour to go over guidelines. You cannot call me past 8 p.m. unless you're in jail or in the hospital. you must call me at 6:15 a.m. If you call me later, I have another sponsee at 6:30. You will not get me. I mean, she went over it, and at first I'm like, whoa. But you know what? She set the tone of, this is what I need from you, and this is what you need to do. Having said that, she was very, very loving. She was. And she was there for me, and she did have compassion. So have that conversation. But the other thing I wanted to comment on was the fact that she didn't have much weight to lose. You know, when I first came into the program, my sponsor told me, you know, some of us had a lot of weight to lose and some of us didn't have much, but we cannot go there. Let's not judge because we can't do that. Well, I got a sponsee that didn't have a lot of weight to lose, and she's the first one to tell you she was a bottom food eater. She'd get out of the garbage can and out of dumpsters. So whether, you know, someone may have 5 or 10 or 15 pounds, I don't know what's going inside their head. And I know that a couple of my sponsees, you know, in the past had been judged like, well, you're not really a compulsive eater. You don't have much weight to lose. People have no idea what's going on in their head. So that part doesn't matter if they have 1,000 pounds or 1 pound. It's what's going on inside of them, what counts, or what's not going on inside of them. And, you know, we are at the, we say this program is for those who are at a critical point. And remember, we can be under-eaters as well, over, under, you know, and so we have to keep that in mind. But I would have that conversation with the person about, obviously, this time is not working. Is there another time that we can come to agreement with? And if not, like one of the other, like Susan said, I'll be a great outreach for you, but let's get another sponsor for you. Because and we can remind them, this is a program of structure and discipline. Okay, I hope that answered your question. Anyone else would like?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Anyone else would like to share or ask a question?
May I add something to that?
Yes.
Okay, this is Marcia, compulsive eater in Southern California. And in the guidelines, it does say if you don't hear from your sponsee for 3 days, and she hasn't, well, that's what it says, then you no longer have a sponsee-sponsor relationship. But if arrangements have been made, it does not say that. But what I say is if you know ahead of time that they're out of town or whatever, they can still text their food. And if they don't have a cell phone or whatever, you know, I just have to trust that they're abstinent or making phone calls to somebody else or trying to get to a meeting, wherever they are. If not, you know, I just wish the best for them and hope, you know, when they come back, they'll pick up the calling. But if that isn't arranged beforehand, that's what the guidelines say in the book, the sponsor book. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that to the light. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Anyone else who would like to add to this or ask a question? Okay. Well, it seems like nobody has a question or would like to share on anything. So our next topic is, well, we have a couple. Susan, what do you think we should share on next? I know we have two.
Let's go with service. It's just something that's up for phone bridge, and yeah.
Okay. So the next topic we're going to talk about is service and why it's so important. One of the tools is service, and it says service is freedom from bondage of self. And the three of us do service at different levels, and we really do feel very passionate about this. I'm going to open up for Cheryl first, but I'll just add, if our co-founders, Fred and Rachel, were not service-oriented, this program would not be here. And they were driven from a passion to, what can I do for you? How can I carry the message? So with that little preamble, I'm going to open it up with Cheryl. Cheryl, would you like to start us off, please?
Sure. Cheryl, compulsive eater. Service. I love doing service. And this is from way back when I came into the program. I had started out at a meeting in Manhattan that we had. Went there for 2 years religiously. And then I opened... I was co-founder of two different meetings in Brooklyn, and I was co-founder of the phone bridge. So these are things that I felt that I was responsible to be involved with, because we wanted to see how it continued to function as much as it could be at that time. For me today, I love service because it makes me feel that I'm giving back that which I receive. It makes me feel what I'm part of. You know, in a day that I don't share or it's a rare the day that I don't get on a meeting, I feel like something's missing. And so it's very important in many different ways. First of all, we need to, that's what program's all about. We need to share and give this program over, 12-step people, bring them into the 12-step program to see how. For example, though, now there is two announcements on the phone bridge meetings. They were in desperate need of intergroup reps. The position of an intergroup rep is to go to the intergroup meeting twice a month, only for an hour. It's not a great commitment. And then read the announcements. Some meetings don't even have the announcements read. But we have 55 meetings, and we have 27 openings for intergroup reps, and that's really distressing. So we need to know that, you know, I need to do my share. And when I first started, I was afraid to share. I went to meeting for 3 months without opening my mouth, and then my sponsor told me, if you don't share, I'm going to have to let you go. And she was right. Next meeting, I got up, and I said, this is Cheryl. My sponsor made me do this, and I sat down. Well, it was good for a laugh, but also got me started because, the ice was broken. I was able to continue sharing and doing. Involved in retreats, wherever I thought that some service needed to be done, I tried to do that. Now, not everybody has time or is able to do all that service, and that's fine, but I do believe that as soon as we get 7 days, as soon as the sponsor gets 7 days, it's very important to get involved. It made me feel part of the meeting. If I'm just sitting there and listening, hey, it's great, I'm getting a lot of information, but I don't feel connected to that program. I don't feel grounded in program. And if I share whatever it is, and I used to think that my shares are no good, I sound incompetent, I'm not that, articulate enough. I had all these reasons, and I'd hang up. I mean, I'd get off after the share. Why did you say this? Why didn't you say that? I had all that stuff going on. But, then I decided, my higher power put into my mouth. Didn't sound good. Doesn't matter. The next one will sound better. And so I just share. I just share because I know it might help someone. Nowadays, I don't share that much because I like to hear newcomers or people that haven't been in that long to share. But so there goes the position of intergroup members is very important. All you need to do, and it would be great if you could do it this week before the intergroup meeting on Sunday, is go to a meeting that doesn't have an intergroup rep. Just volunteer. At the end of the meeting, you ask for a two-minute business meeting to get you voted in, get you elected, and then if you let the PhoneBridge VC, Vice Chair, know at gmail.com, she'll send you all the paperwork that you need, and you can be voting on Sunday, next Sunday. The other thing we need also is we need a secretary election for executive board, secretary and vice chair. And these are very, very important positions. So if you'd like to be involved in that, you can send an email to phonebridgechair@gmail.com. I'll give you the information. Or to Joanne, phonebridgevc@gmail.com. And then one more thing. We're having election of Area 10 reps also at next week intergroup meeting on Sunday the 21st. The reason we need intergroup area reps is that they get to go to area assembly, and then they could be elected as delegates to attend the World Service Business Conference. There's a lot of help financially in getting there, and then we do have 3 days of conference, and then you have the convention right after that. So if you'd like to be an area rep, please contact phonebridgevc@gmail.com. She'll send you a newly revised copy of the PhoneBridge bylaws, and she'll help you out. And again, those elections will be taking place next Sunday. So there's so much service to do, but it all begins with sharing. Sharing. The first thing I needed to do was learn how to share and not worry about what it sounds like. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. And Susan, would you like to share on this topic?
I'm sure. I mean, Cheryl did a fabulous job of promoting service that is, we have immediate need on the PhoneBridge community to be filled. Service is essential. Service is one of our tools. I have counted the number of times that the word service comes up in that tool, the sixth tool, is 10 times. It's like a mantra. We do service. Service is part of 12-step recovery. Service is part of owning our place in our recovery program and paying it forward and offering a hand out to the next person, offering both hands out as this web of connection. And it really is essential for the health of our organization, for the growth of our organization, for the maintenance of mine and each of my fellow members' recovery and program, and for reaching those who are still suffering and don't yet know that there might be an answer for them in this program. So, I'll also just open up in planning for this meeting. We recognize that the three of us have been, forget the right word, facilitating these forums since, I believe it's December of 2015. That's a long time. We love doing the service. But in the spirit of sharing the gifts of service and not holding on to service positions for a long period of time, it really is time to open, you know, and to actively ask our community, will you step up and be a facilitator for these monthly fora, and you know, we are not looking to stop doing it, but that is how 12-step recovery stays healthy, is not have something entrenched with certain people doing that work all the time. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. This is Suzanne, and I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And when it says service is freedom from bondage of self, I look at it this way. When I'm doing service, whether it's sponsoring someone or practicing my own program with the absence and the writing or leading a meeting or leading fellowship time or working on the special needs committee and accessibility or whatever it is, I look at it as a chance for me to grow and to build my to work on my character. It is character building, and it really does get me out on myself. You know, we all have so many bad habits of compulsively eating. Oh, I'll just talk about myself. Compulsively eating and isolating and not doing anything. When I do service, I am getting out of myself. I'm putting myself out there. I'm not in the thinking. I'm not thinking about, gee, I wish I could go eat blah, 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 because I'm busy. And so those are the things I think about also. You know, what they say is you don't share it, you wear it. Well, that can mean sharing at a meeting or sharing or carrying the message or sharing the program. And service is needed at all levels, and obviously every level is not everybody is a fit for every level of service. This is true. But if there is a meeting that doesn't have a leader, you know, there's like, you know, 20 people on the line and no one will lead a meeting. If you're at a meeting and that leader is not there for 3 minutes, start leading the meeting if you're qualified. I often say, I'm blind, and I don't lead a perfect meeting. And if anybody can lead a meeting, if I can lead a meeting, anyone can lead it, and probably better than I do. So take a chance. It doesn't have to be perfect. But just jump in and give back. I like in the big book, Why Dr. Bob, it says why he does service, and I can't even do it, not even close to what he explains it, but look in Dr. Bob's story and why he does service. And he went through 2.5 years of physical cravings, and he did not give in to it because he threw himself into service. So let that be your example. I know that I can be selfish and self-centered, and by putting myself out there and being of service, I'm getting out of that selfishness and self-centeredness and being of service to someone else. I'll just close with this. Service is also, you know, helping carrying a message on a seventh tradition. Seventh tradition is so important to help that service continue, to pay the bills and the contribution that goes to World Service, to keep the office running, printed, or the new electronic literature, or keep the website going, and providing services for the fellowship, whether it's face-to-face meeting or for electronic meetings, it doesn't matter. That is another responsibility as a sponsor, to tell our sponsees why we give, why we have Seventh Tradition, why it's so important. Let's not forget that part. It is important. And we do have expenses, and that's one way of carrying the message. And as a very good friend of mine said to me, you know, if I have sponsees that are doing both face-to-face and phone bridge, they better darn well be giving to phone bridge because they have to treat it as a face-to-face meeting. And I know a lot of us don't. So please remember that as well. And I think we're out of time, I think.
Time to close down, yeah.
Yep. So our next sponsorship forum is
November 18th.
Yes, November 18th. Mark it down on your calendars. And we'll give our numbers after we stop the recording. I want to thank everybody, Cheryl, Susan, everybody who was here listening. And please join us in the Serenity Prayer. God.
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 Grant me the serenity.
The serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
Accept
the things I cannot
change.
Courage
to change
the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine.
Thy will, not mine. Be done.